This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says in a tweet this morning that former First Lady Michelle Obama delivered a speech last night at the Democratic Convention that was not meant to unite, the president calling her remarks divisive. Obama was harsh on the sitting president in her address to the party faithful.
Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. He has had more than enough time to prove that he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head.
President Trump says those who fought to give women the right to vote in America a century ago achieved a huge victory with the 19th Amendment. Mr. Trump and the First Lady held a White House ceremony a short time ago to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the amendment's ratification that guaranteed women the right to vote. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
After making campaign stops in Minnesota and Wisconsin yesterday, President Trump will continue to counter-program the Democratic National Convention by taking his message to voters across the country this week with scheduled stops in Iowa and Arizona today. He says he has not ordered the Postal Service to remove mailboxes or slow down mail service, and at the White House this morning said that he has no issue with absentee balloting. Mail-in balloting, though, he says, is another matter.
It'll end up being a rigged election, or they will never come out with an outcome. They'll have to do it again. And nobody wants that, and I don't want that.
A St. Louis couple charged for waving guns at protesters recently will be speaking at next week's Republican National Convention. Video of Mark and Patricia McCloskey went viral after they stood armed outside their mansion as a crowd marched past them on the way to the mayor's house during a demonstration. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
U.S. House Democrats have called a special session for this upcoming Saturday for members to address issues with the U.S. Postal Service. An emergency bill aimed at blocking recently enacted cost-cutting measures at the Postal Service will be on the table less than 3 months before the presidential election, when millions of Americans could end up voting by mail because of health concerns about in-person voting during the ongoing pandemic. The funeral for Robert Trump, President Trump's younger brother, is now scheduled for Friday. President Trump making the announcement yesterday, saying that he's likely to hold also a small service at the White House that day for his brother. The younger Trump, who was 71, died on Saturday in a New York City hospital after reportedly suffering brain bleeds from a recent fall. Colorado is now showing off its new marijuana vending machines. The CEO behind them says they are tricked out, with a touchscreen to take and fill orders. Customers can buy flower, edibles, and vape oils without having to interact with anyone. The checkout system simply requires ID. The machines are at Strawberry Field Dispensary in Pueblo, with more headed to Aurora later this year. Massachusetts will also be getting them next month. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Hey, welcome back. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. How you doing? Hanging in there, right? Okay. Don't grow weary, all right? It's okay. Good always wins out over evil. I know it's a little wacky right now and upside down, but we were told this was going to happen. There were going to be those days when good was called evil and evil was called good. But you need to know the difference and know what you stand for right now. This is what's what's happening to the American psyche these days. Is that what do you stand for? Do you stand for the Constitution? Do you stand for morality? Are you standing for your family? I mean, these are all fundamental but important issues. And it's amazing that you say, why are we asking that question? Well, we're asking that question because the way people are acting and the way our society is acting out right now, it brings it all back into question. Because, you know, at the end of the day, what's it all for? What are we trying to accomplish here? Are we trying to accomplish a better America? Well, clearly there's some forces here that want no America. That's what's going on. Our next guest is a history buff, I should say. I knew I could get it out. Philip Goodrich, he's developed a fascination with the lesser-told stories behind the characters during America's founding years. I love his perspective. And if you saw his picture, and if you go to his website, you'll see his picture, and he has that kind of look that he just has been wired that way. He's wired to look at things a little bit differently. And I don't know why I have that impression, Philip, but, you know, from your picture, I just see that you have a unique gift. And, you know, I'm glad you're here on the show to share it with us.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, and thank you for those kind words. Sometimes it takes people looking outside the box and looking at information that's been rehashed over and over again from maybe a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't you love that, that we live in a free America, that we can do that, even though in the midst of this movement to eradicate our history, there are people like yourself that are gifted to say, hey, look at... and I'm sure when you probably said, hey, I want to, you know, write about the American Revolution. Oh, my gosh, how many hundreds and thousands of books do we already have on the American Revolution? You know, what do you have new to share with us, right?
Well, yes, and, you know, I got the pretty much the same standard education in elementary and high school that everyone else did. Took some classwork at the collegiate level, but... for whatever reason, this case of Somerset versus Stuart had totally eluded my education, and I was never told this story. So when I stumbled upon it, about 2.5 years ago now, I was fascinated because I had never heard it. I think it's so far being somewhat misunderstood that I have a prejudice one way or the other, and I clearly do not. I just wanted to... pretty much relay a story that was commonly known during the Revolution, but had been suppressed for the 50 years after.
Yeah, some things get lost in translation over the years, and I'm glad you found this, and it's probably, like you, you know, being exposed to basically the same type of education. Stories like Somerset would have been absolutely fascinating for me.
Yes, it's, you know, it's the case, the first case that resulted in freeing a slave from a legal standpoint. It was actually tried in the court system in London, mm-hmm. in Great Britain. This was a slave that had been purchased in Virginia. He and his master had been moved to Boston and then on to London. The slave had essentially run away after they got to London and was quickly apprehended by bounty hunters working in the dockyards of London. They brought the slave back to the master, and the master said, I don't want him anymore. Put him on a ship and send him to Jamaica and auction him off there.
Oh, wow.
Well, the abolitionists of London stepped in at that moment, and they said, now, wait a minute. That may be how you do business in Virginia, and that may be how you do business in Massachusetts, but that most assuredly is not how we do business in London. So they filed suit, and ultimately this went to the British equivalent of the Supreme Court in London, and after looking at all the evidence, the Chief Justice said, this man needs to be set free.
Mm-hmm.
So Benjamin Franklin seized on this. I think probably the focus of the book is really Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Franklin, I think America has suppressed or never knew what a godsend this man was to the American Revolution and to the new American Republic. He was probably the best-known American in Europe at that time. He was certainly our most gifted politician. He rubbed elbows with the elite all through France and England and the Netherlands, and he knew everybody. So Franklin, all he really wanted in his life was to free Pennsylvania from their proprietors in London. He hated the people that were running the colony of Pennsylvania, and he wanted Pennsylvania free. His mm-hmm. friends in London convinced him that the only way that could happen was if he took 12 other colonies with him. So it left him with, okay, how do I take 12 other colonies with me?
I mean, my hands are full right now just trying to get one colony free. Now you give me 12 more. Well, you silly so Baker Dozen kind of guy.
How do I motivate the northern colonies? Well, they were upset about the quartering of British soldiers, so mm-hmm. they were pretty much in, particularly in Boston and New York. They
right.
said, we're ready to go now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the south, they were all loyalists, and they said, we don't have any knock with the British. You know, we get along well with them. Yes, they hit us with some pretty heavy taxes at times, but then they pull them back. The stamp tax had been revoked. The mm-hmm. Townsend taxes had been revoked. They said, okay, we'll work with this. So then Franklin hit upon this notion, well, I wonder what their attitude would be if we told them that London was going to take away their slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit a little too close to home, and at that point, yes, then they were ready.
Mm-hmm.
So Franklin, probably a little sleight of hand, probably a little misreading, probably a little overreaching on that court decision, because even the justice that rendered it said, this doesn't free all the slaves, this frees this one man.
Mm-hmm.
But Franklin ran with it and convinced the Virginia and South Carolina slave owners that indeed London was going to take their slaves away if they stayed as part of the empire. So he said, the only way you can keep your plantations is to get out of the empire.
Interesting. Well, going back to the judgment from, you know, England's version of the Supreme Court, what was their reasoning to free the slave?
The ultimate reasoning was based on a concept that their Chief Justice interpreted that there was no law on the books in Great Britain at that time that positively said you can have slaves in London.
Mm-hmm.
It had been tolerated for probably 200 years, but there was no law that actually said you can have slaves in London. And because of that, and because this slave owner from Virginia that said, well, I get to keep my slaves from Virginia, right? And traditionally at that point they had, but what they pointed out to him was, you said you didn't want him. And that's where that whole case came down, was when he refused to take his slave back again, they said the slave owner had effectively freed his slave,
right,
whether he realized that's what he was doing or not. When he said, I want this man loaded onto a ship and auctioned off, they said the minute he said, I don't want him, that freed him. And once mm-hmm. he was free, then he couldn't be loaded on a ship and auctioned off somewhere because he had already been freed. So it was an eyelash decision.
Yes.
Even the justice's own statement afterwards. Lord Mansfield was the judge, and he tried to walk this decision back for 10 years after he had made it. He said this was an eyelash decision that this man had freed his own slave.
Exactly. We got to go to break. We've got more from Philip Goodrich after this. We're talking about his new book, Somerset.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're talking about Somerset. It's a new book that may forever change the way we view the American Revolution. Philip Goodrich is with us, a history buff, and he loves those stories behind the scenes. Philip, I got to imagine as you're doing this, you know, because you are creating an insatiable desire for me to look at history a little bit different, to say, how many other stories like Somerset exist?
Yes, and, you know, I think that history is replete with this. One of the things that I picked up on all through the research from into secondary sources is we in the United States seem to have a tendency to want to glorify and almost sanctify our histories within the first 50 years after any conquest. And it is only after that that revisionists will step in and look back at original sources and say, now, wait a minute. This, this doesn't coincide. This doesn't add up. There's something missing here. So we see that through the Civil War. We see that through World War One. We see some of that even in World War Two. And it's only perhaps in the last 50 years that we've become at least more objective and more willing to look at the facts behind the stories.
And I think that's an excellent point, because I think right now, in a sense, in this year of 2020, America is starting to open its eyes to some of our past history. And and I'm not talking about, you know, the destruction of monuments necessarily, as much as it is maybe, well, why do we have that monument there? Because so much has gotten lost in translation that somehow the monuments that we have on display are not, they're not coinciding with that which is being taught in schools today.
And that's correct. And, it makes no sense to necessarily just be pure iconoclasts and tear everything down. You know, as harsh a situation as post-war Germany had, they were very adamant that their concentration camps not be pulled down. You would say, let's bulldoze those yesterday. And they said, the government stepped in and said, no, this is a story that our people need to know and our people need to be aware of, so that if they find it reprehensible, they never repeat it. So it doesn't make any sense to try to bulldoze our past or to make it go away. Some of it's not very pretty. Some of it's downright ugly. But it's best that our children and grandchildren need to know so that they can understand what is going on during their own times.
Without a doubt. No, I tell my kids all the time, experience defines preference. And if you start extracting experience, you're going to lose some perspective on the preference that you choose. You know, even though America, you look at it, probably, probably one of the greatest nations, if not the greatest nation ever created by God outside of Israel and its governance and the way it was orchestrated. You look at what America has done for the good in the midst of, you know, this race issue, and here we are today still dealing with it, and I believe the reason we are is the reason we keep coming back is because we haven't solved the problem, and we have to come to the realization that we are the problem. You know, it's in the hearts of men, and we've got to reconcile that. And I think that probably closer, at least in my lifetime, Philip, I got to tell you, I just think we're getting there. We're knocking on the door of a breakthrough. We have to ignore those antithetical forces that they don't want this situation resolved. This has become an industry for them, and you know, just like it is, just like when Franklin and the founding fathers were dealing with the Southern slaveholders. I mean, you're taking away their way and manner of doing business. This is a costly deal, and for America to resolve this race issue, too many people for too long have made an industry and a lifestyle from it.
Yes, I would agree with that. I like your little catchphrase there about the role of experience and preference. And I think that's very appropriate. We need to understand exactly what the depth of any given problem is in terms of time. And we need to look at it over time and see how it contributed to where we are today. It's only by looking at it with clear eyes that we can start understanding where the injuries were created, where the problems lie, so we can start seeking solutions that are positive and can be win situations for everybody.
And what other government is there possible that you can have that opportunity to do that? I mean, if you're constantly in revolution and being taken over by another force, you're just in a rinse-wash cycle, you know, repeatedly, and you're really not gaining any advantage from your history, are you?
No, you're not. And, you know, God bless the fact that we have a country that we have where we can have books like Somerset that will allow us to look at these things. And you may not like it. You know, people are going to love this book. People are going to hate this book. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to respect my readership. And at the same time, I'm just laying out facts. I'm not trying to coerce anybody into any mindset. I'm just saying, here's what I try to do with my readers is I try to put them in the situation. You are in London in 1772. You are in Philadelphia in 1776. Here's what's going on. Just make it as real for them as I can.
Exactly. What's going to irritate them?
What's going to irritate some is the idea that slavery could have been used as a motivation by Franklin to achieve his end. What is going to upset other readers is going to be trying to resurrect Thomas Paine as some sort of a patriot at a time that this man was publishing books that were so antithetical to Christian doctrine and Christian religion as to make him essentially a pariah in the United States and in Great Britain. But the role of Thomas Paine in our American Revolution is absolutely stellar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what he did after that, the man lacked social filter totally. he made enemies everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm. He was equal opportunity that way, you know. So
yeah, he was equal opportunity hater.
But again, you extract you know, some classic writings and what the purpose he served, because you know this is one big huge melting pot recipe. And, you know, like any other recipe, you need a little bit of this, a little bit of that, right?
Yes, yes. And it's important to know that, to know how our history reflects who we are as a people.
Kind of ironic in the story of Benjamin Franklin. Here he uses this as a wedge issue to bring the forces together to only disband them down the road.
Yes, and you know, even as great a spokesperson as John Adams said, I think without Benjamin Franklin, we would have had two United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
But he firmly believed that Franklin was the only person that could have held the northern and southern colonies together, and indeed he did.
Mm-hmm. What was it about Benjamin Franklin that allowed him to do that, to have that kind of charisma and leadership to be able to hold these disparate parts together?
Well, the man was remarkably intellectually gifted. He was, like I said, he was the only American known throughout Europe. He had a prodigious memory for faces and friends. Every person he met, his approach was, this person is going to benefit me somehow. This person is going to extend my education somehow. And he kept those all to himself and was able to utilize those people as needed to get to where he wanted to be.
Yeah, I appreciate the anecdotal stories of his practice of dealing with values on a weekly basis. He would take a particular value and focus on that, and at the end of the week judge himself. Like if he said, okay, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be truthful no matter what, and for that week, you know, that was top of mind. And he just went through these core values like that, which I thought was quite remarkable, and one of those examples I share with people from time to time because I think that's missing. I think it was quite commendable.
Yes, he was a very introspective person, and again, a very wise person. We're very fortunate that he lived as long as he did.
Well, American history buff Philip Goodrich has been our guest. His book, Somerset, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Philip, be well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalties. royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important quality that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says in a tweet this morning that former First Lady Michelle Obama delivered a speech last night at the Democratic Convention that was not meant to unite, the president calling her remarks divisive. Obama was harsh on the sitting president in her address to the party faithful.
Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. He has had more than enough time to prove that he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head.
President Trump says those who fought to give women the right to vote in America a century ago achieved a huge victory with the 19th Amendment. Mr. Trump and the First Lady held a White House ceremony a short time ago to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the amendment's ratification that guaranteed women the right to vote. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
You know, the question that is before us this day is, you know, what happens if law enforcement is really abolished? Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people in some of these states with their draconian ideas in wanting to abolish police said, hey, the answer is I'm moving out. In fact, don't even slow down at the exit point because you're going to get run over because people are moving out in mass of these crazy states that want to defund police. With us right now is a leading attorney, former law enforcement officer, author of the books Peacemaking and When Cops Kill, Lance LaRusso. Lance, welcome back. Always good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Well, Lance, I mean, this is the bottom line. I mean, reasonable people have got to figure it out. They look at, they're seeing their politicians and their, you know, local officials, mayors supporting something as goofy as defunding police, and so they're saying, "Hey, if that's the way you're going to run, you know, the popcorn stand, I'm out of here." The sad thing is the people who can't leave and that really need the police, they're going, what are you doing? We need more. We don't need less. Who came up with this idea?
Well, it's actually kind of funny that you said popcorn stand because I think some of these people feel like they're living in the movies.
Yes.
That they're going to do something to punish the police by taking their salaries away or taking their manpower away or taking their funding away. And it's really interesting, there's only two discretionary parts of a police budget. One is training, and the other one is travel, which is generally for training. So let's say you work in a jurisdiction, and you have crimes against children detective, and there is a excellent class, best in the country, taught seven states over or on the other side of the country. So you need money to pay for that training. You need money to pay for the travel for the training and meals during the training and the hotel. Mm-hmm. So you're just not going to be able to send those folks. So what will happen is you'll have departments that will revert back to the minimum amount of training for the officers to keep the state standards up. You still have to put gasoline in patrol cars and put new tires on patrol cars and replenish uniforms and keep buildings in repair. And what will happen is these individuals who believe they're going to accomplish something will be effective at making sure there is less training of law enforcement in their area.
Why are we recreating the wheel here, Lance, after all the empirical evidence, everything we've learned? I mean, the reason that law enforcement is at the level it is because of past experience. But we want to, again, see, this is the problem I've had with, and I'll say, call it for what it is. It's mostly the Democrats. The Democrats live in a theoretical world. It's like abandon empirical evidence, abandon history, and let's just, you know, come up with these goofy ideas, and they're going to enact them at the expense and risk of the people who are therefore subjected.
The other problem you have is it's a basic human nature to want to control things to solve a problem. And what a lot of folks have realized, and I'll just leave their political ideologies out of it, they've realized that they don't have the stomach to try to curb gang violence. Gangs are the number one employer in the United States. They don't have the stomach to deal with drug trade violence, which is out of control. They don't have the problem, they don't have the gut and stomach and intestinal fortitude to deal with things like sex trafficking and abject poverty and people who are preying on the elderly in communities and the vulnerable populations. So instead of dealing with that, they're going to regulate what they can regulate, which is the police. So it's very easy to sit in a city council meeting and say, we're going to do X, Y, Z and regulate the police, and sit back and watch. But if you want to know what that's going to look like, if you look at what's happening in Seattle right now, look at all of those people rioting, all the people that are breaking things, all the people in Chicago that stormed into a Ronald McDonald house, and for a second, look at that line of law enforcement officers, and they're not there.
Right. Exactly.
And there's nothing standing between those violent, anti-government anarchists and your homes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lance, this is what we've been saying, and so you are confirming this because the people are going to be left without anything. And look what's happening. They get it. Look what's happened to gun sales. I mean, it's off the charts right now because they're saying, look, I don't have anybody to protect me. And even if I find myself like the McCloskeys in St. Louis having to at least show that I have a weapon, that I can defend myself, I'd much rather do that than to pay the ultimate price of getting, pillaged and killed in the process because police, they're busy dealing with other things like was reported in Portland the other night. There were like 60 911 calls that they couldn't respond to because everybody, all hands on deck, dealing with a out-of-hand riot in Portland.
Well, and that's one of the things that has just amazed me is that people are still arguing these are not organized protests and they're not, you know, they're nothing more than people who are just angry and they're peaceful protesters. There's nothing peaceful about throwing bricks through windows. I know lawyers who represent law enforcement officers who have been, had their offices vandalized and things. But, you know, part of it is complacency. And I wrote a book called Blue News about the intersection of law enforcement and media. And I wrote that book, all the profits from that, When Cops Kill and Peacemaking, go to law enforcement charities. To date, we've donated about $30,000. But I wrote Blue News to tell law enforcement agencies, you need to tell your story.
Yes.
You need to get out there and start talking about all the good things that law enforcement officers do, because it's a basic principle. If you don't tell your story, someone else will. And that's what's happening right now. The good people, overwhelmingly, who support law enforcement, who have said, defunding police is a bridge too far. We're not going to support that. We may say that reforms are needed. We may be willing to sit down and talk to police and talk to communities, but defunding the police is not a reasonable response. Mm-hmm. Those folks now are standing up, but law enforcement agencies need to be more vocal about telling their stories. And we've reached a point where we are having a problem keeping people in this profession. And I did an interview with a radio station in Seattle yesterday. They said, what can we do to make it better? I said, tell every one of your listeners to go find a Seattle police officer, personally thank them, and ask them to please stay on the job, because without them, you're going to be left into Armageddon.
And you got to stand with them. You got to continue, because right now we got to get on the other side. And in order to get through this, we need reinforcements who are willing to stand with the men and women of blue and law enforcement. Otherwise, because this is a force right now. I mean, if you'd have told me, Lance, that Portland was going to continue on for, what, 76 nights, and there's no end in sight, that's impossible. You know, that's not going to happen. You know, city officials, you know, government's going to step in sooner or later. But to your earlier point, because they've been allowed to go on this long, when it's time for them, when they finally have had enough, and they're willing to stomach, just like you said, stomach, the results of coming in and bringing law upon people who have been lawless, it's going to be ugly, and they're not going to like that. But that's what it's going to take in order to clean up the streets of Portland.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I'm trying to think if it was Portland where they said they weren't going to prosecute anyone. You know, you had 100 law enforcement agencies pull out of the Memorandum of Understanding to assist at the Democratic National Convention.
Exactly.
Somebody decided they didn't want, they wanted to regulate what law enforcement officers could use for crowd dispersion. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time, and I took a lot of heat for it when it first started. The people who should be standing up and screaming and hollering and stepping out there in front of law enforcement officers to protect them and also stopping this lawlessness are the people that have a legitimate complaint. Mm-hmm. The peaceful protesters should complain because their message is being lost.
Exactly.
If you were getting on the street because you wanted to protest police brutality or you wanted to protest a significant incident that happened in your community, when everybody else is throwing rocks and bottles, your message is gone. Nobody's
exactly.
paying attention to you.
Yeah, they're stealing their stories, Lance. That's what we were talking about earlier. You know, with Bob Woodson, is that people have come in, these outside forces, and they're stealing the people's story. And so now we have a lot of destruction, people out of jobs, businesses destroyed, dreams put up in flames, and, you know, and they continue on, and each day they go back home to their parents' basement, play their video games until it's time for them to, you know, wire up and do damage on the streets once again. I mean, this is absolute insanity. Lance LaRusso is with us. He is a leading attorney, former law enforcement officer himself, and author. And our conversation with Lance will continue right after this. Stay with us.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, ladies and gentlemen. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And our guest is leading attorney, former law enforcement officer, author of the books Peacemaking and When Cops Kill, Lance LaRusso. And you've got a novel, huh? A novel coming out?
Yeah, a new book came out. His first novel came out in January. It's called Hunting of Men. Huntingofmen.com is the website, and it's about a new homicide detective who takes on a cold case, and it's a cold case of a murdered police officer that the leads have dried up, and it's his first homicide. He jumps in there with both feet and winds up uncovering a sex trafficking ring, and we all get to learn about his journey. It's Hunting of Men, and I think people will really enjoy it. If you want to learn how cops really solve crimes, then this is the book for you.
Wow, that's great. So gave yourself a little bit of break from, you know, the heavy left brain kind of stuff and went right brain on us to give us a novel, but still ultimately fulfill your mission.
Absolutely. It's my zen. I enjoy writing. It takes me away and gives me a break.
Well, Lance, you know, these situations, you know, that are happening, you know, 70-some nights there in Portland, I mean, we're going to pay the price for this. You know, it reminds me of that old Pennzoil commercial, you can pay me now or pay me later. You know, the implication was that if you paid later instead of now, it was going to be much more costly. And I think this is what we're looking at right now in Portland. I mean, the destruction of the downtown area, I mean, for business to recover, this isn't something that's going to be in a couple of weeks. They're going to snap back. I mean, this is decades of damage that, you know, it could end up being.
It's decades of damage. I mean, we looked at, there's a video out right now about New York City where it's a normal street, and just name companies are just, you know, well-known companies are just boarded up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be generational, and the generational part is going to be that people are not going to want to move to Portland to work. And, well, you know, when people talk, it's amazing, they blame law enforcement. We've known for years that whenever you have any type of a protest, peaceful or otherwise, there will be people who will exploit the fact that a crowd is present. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, law enforcement has always had a big presence, and people say, well, you're inciting the crowd. They're not inciting the crowd. The bad guys that show up are always going to be there, and probably the best example of that is when five officers were murdered in Dallas a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, people forget that they were providing security for an anti-law enforcement protest.
Right.
And when the shots started ringing out, those officers were using their bodies as shields to protect the people who were protesting the minutes before.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, and those stories, again, those are robbed from the headlines. They're robbed, you know, from the interior. They're not reported on because it's easy to go to the headline and go to the shooting and realize that we're talking real people and real stories that need to be communicated, and people need to be aware of this so that, you know, we have an appreciation, you know, for the men in blue who, you know, protect us and, you know, kind of hold this all together. Otherwise, without law enforcement, we see what's going on, whether it's in Seattle or Portland. Just, you know, check it out as to what's going on. This lawlessness that continues that is just amazing to me. Because, you know, speaking of New York, you know, a friend of mine who's in the real estate business, he told me, he said, Bill, he says, there's 10,000 empty apartments in New York right now. I said, what? I mean, people are moving out, and 300 a day. You know, so much so that, you know, you got Governor Cuomo going, come back, you know, I'll make you dinner, or I'll buy you a drink. Well, you know, there's not enough dinners, there's not enough drinks to bring you back, bring your family into a hostile area.
Well, it's not a matter of drinks. You'd have to be drinking the Kool-Aid to believe some of the folks that are running the ship up there. And, you know, 750 officers from the NYPD retired, and people say, well, you know, so what? They have 35,000 officers. Well, when officers retire, especially when they retire in an unplanned retirement, that is decades worth of experience.
Exactly.
Those are the people that when something happens, everybody else looks to for guidance. And when they're gone, they're gone. And I know three or four officers in metropolitan police departments, very large agencies. And when they retired recently, they moved to places like Montana and Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're concerned about what's going to happen if these inner cities wind up cutting law enforcement. You know, we saw that in Seattle. You're probably going to see a mass exodus of people from those cities.
Yeah, one of the key stimulants there in New York was the elimination of 600 undercover officers. These were the guys that were going in and, you know, keeping those nefarious evil ones at bay and kept the guns off the street, as Rudy Giuliani had explained. That, you know, the guns were at home or they were in a drawer at home. But now, because these 600 officers are no longer on the street, the guns now are sidearms. They're on the person. And that's why, you know, you get these shootings where, you know, somebody gets upset at a Starbucks and the guy shoots the guy in the leg. I mean, because there's no, you know, there's no protection. There's no covering. They don't have a threat of being arrested for having, you know, a handgun on them, and of course they don't have a concealed carry permit. They're not allowed to have a gun in New York. But hey, you know, the bad guys still manage to get their hands on guns,
and they always will. And this is kind of where we, you know, we started out. It's people exerting control over what they can control and thinking it's going to make a difference. And the recognition, and this is where a lot of folks their ideology is just completely diametrically opposed to the facts. There are people out there who will prey on other people if given the opportunity.
Exactly.
And the only thing that prevents that on a regular basis is law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that complain about law enforcement preying on people, those are very, very few and far between. And I've never seen a cop arrested by a journalist.
Yeah.
I've only seen a bad cop arrested by another cop.
Exactly. No, without a doubt. And the thing you brought up earlier that has to do with, you know, this idea that people can handle this themselves. I mean, we're going to have, like, community enforcement. You know, they have no experience. They're going to get their heads shot off. You know, they're going to go in and you know, think they're going to be able to, you know, talk to somebody who is emotionally revved up and wants to do damage. You know, law enforcement has all this experience. They know. They've got the training. And all of a sudden now you're going to think a citizen, I mean, it's worrying enough. I got to tell you, Lance, that, you know, gun sales have gone through the roof and you're putting guns in the hands. And my caution to everybody who buys a gun is make sure you're trained and you practice and that you understand what is going on with this weapon and how to protect yourself so that it's not used against you.
Well, and it's an interesting thing when people talk about, you know, citizens and civilians responding to mental health calls. So I'll give you an example. I talked to probably close to 200 officers a couple of weeks ago, and everybody had a consensus that if a city or county or state wanted civilians to handle mental health calls and never dispatch another police officer, we were all fine with never going to another one.
Right.
Nobody wants to go to them. They're difficult. They're hard on your heart. They're hard on resources. Sometimes you just feel like there's nothing you can do. But, you know, for all the people that complain law enforcement shouldn't be handling this, my answer is, well, then stop sending them.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of jurisdictions, if police officers get to a scene and there's somebody screaming and hollering, and this is what this protest stuff has brought about.
Mm-hmm.
If they get to a scene and there's somebody screaming and hollering, they're probably violating a noise ordinance or disorderly, but they're not injuring anybody. They're not breaking property. The officers don't even get out of the car. They go back in service.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, and that's wisdom, judgment, experience that, you know, keeps them safe and can de-escalate a situation to a degree. I mean, because if somebody is, is that emotional, what are you going to do? You're going to find yourself restraining them. And of course, by today's perception, you know, somehow the police are wrong for trying to quell a disturbance.
Well, and it's part of the vernacular and people trying to take over the narrative. You know, de-escalation is an outcome, not a tactic.
Mm-hmm.
De-escalation is a result that takes place from different tactics that are used. And we've been teaching de-escalation since I went through the police academy in 1989 and got my horse and my flintlock issued to me. It's been going on for years, and people act like it's new, but de-escalation requires the cooperation of two people, the officer and the person they're dealing with. So if an officer responds to a business and somebody is screaming and hollering and threatening to beat everybody up, and the officer gets there and drops their voice and talks to them, but the person they're dealing with, either because they want to be a YouTube sensation or somebody's taking a video or they're trying to entrap the officer into saying something improper, if they don't act like a responsible citizen and de-escalate, there will be no de-escalation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing people that are pressing contact and pressing confrontations, in some cases violent confrontations, with law enforcement. And you can't say that the officer should have prevented it by de-escalation. That's just nonsense.
Right. No, you're exactly right. It takes two, and you've got to find a way to, like in the case of what happened in Atlanta, you know, in the one shooting where you've got this guy, you know, he's beaten up, the tossing the police around, runs away, ends up with a laser, a taser gun, and ends up getting shot. It's like, you know, and we don't hear a lot about that lately.
It's true, and unfortunately we have people armchair quarterbacking saying, well, the cops should have done something.
Right.
Well, again, if the cop can't de-escalate the entire situation, it takes two people.
That's a good point. Lance, how can people be in touch with you, get your hands on your new book?
Sure. The new book is huntingofmen.com, and they can also go to lancelarussobooks.com. And like I said, a lot of the profits go to law enforcement.
Attention radio listeners. Have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more. That's mysolarbackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. mysolarbackup.com.
frustrated.